to The Word for Today. The Word for Today is a continuous study of the Bible taught by Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently teaching from the Old Testament. And for those of you following along in your Bibles, we'll be continuing today in Isaiah chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, as we continue with an in-depth message entitled, The Prophecies Against Moab. Now with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
The police stopped this group and their march several blocks away from the Temple Mount, and they did not allow them to proceed. They forcibly prohibited them to make this declaration because there was an order of the court in Israel that was an injunction against this demonstration because they knew that it would create tensions and problems. So the group was stopped by the police. In the meantime, there at the Western Wall where the Jews assemble for prayer, some 20 to 30,000 Jews had gathered there to pray on this holy day. As the prayers were being finished and the Jews started to leave that area, the Muslims on top with their piles of rocks and bricks, not having anyone to throw at, decided to throw at the people who were leaving the prayer, those people down below. And so there came this rain of stones over the top, and several Jewish people were injured and needed to be hospitalized who were struck by these stones and bricks. There were 30 police on the Temple Mount, and there usually is a police detachment up there. There's actually a little police station up there in order to keep order because they realize that it is a place that is filled with tension. And so the police fired tear gas at these young fellows throwing the rocks on the Jews. And then over the museum, the little loudspeakers that are all over Jerusalem where they call the Muslims to prayer five times a day, over these museums they began to call the Muslims from all over Jerusalem to come to the Temple Mount for a holy war against the Jews and to kill the Jews who were trying to profane the Temple Mount. And so the Muslims began to gather from around Jerusalem towards the Temple Mount, and thus the big confrontation. Those on the Temple Mount then began to throw the stones at the police who had fired the tear gas. And so the police responded with rubber bullets. And many of them were injured as the result of being struck by the rubber bullets, but they set fire to the police station and continued to stone them, and then the police opened with live ammunition. And this is the thing that the UN is looking into in all of this. The police then responded with their live ammunition. 19 Arabs were killed, 150 were injured, and the riot was put down. And immediately the UN called for a condemnation of Israel, and the U.S. backed the condemnation. Interesting that about the same time, over 150 were killed over in India as the Muslims and the Hindus were into it over there. But I didn't hear anything about a UN resolution to censor India, you know, because of the put down of the riots there. But as it you know, be that as it is, there is tension. The Jews do want to rebuild their temple. And according to the Bible, the temple will be rebuilt. And no doubt, this covenant that the Antichrist makes with the Jews at the beginning of the last 7-year period will include in that covenant or treaty the permission to rebuild the Temple Mount. Now, the big knotty issue of it is that right in the center of the Temple Mount, there stands the Dome of the Rock Mosque. And how can you rebuild the temple when the Dome of the Rock Mosque stands right in the center part of the Temple Mount area? 322 feet north of the Dome of the Rock Mosque, there is a little flat bedrock area called the Dome of the Tablets, which is directly in from the east gate. And many of the scholars believe that this is the site of the Holy of Holies for Solomon's temple. A man by the name of Dr. Asher Kaufman has probably done more research on this subject than any man alive. And after all of his years of research, he is absolutely convinced that this Dome of the Tablets is indeed the place of the Holy of Holies of Solomon's temple, which would mean that the Jews could build again their temple over the site of Solomon's temple and not have to touch the Dome of the Rock Mosque. The whole issue could be settled by just building a wall north of the Dome of the Rock Mosque, leaving the whole southern end of the Temple Mount for the Muslims to have their holy place of worship, Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock. And they would have that whole southern end for their place of worship. And the northern end, which is about 15 acres, could be given to the Jews for the rebuilding of their temple. And from Ezekiel chapter 42, it would appear that that is and will be the solution. Because Ezekiel in vision saw the new temple. He measured the temple and the courts. And he measured a wall 500 reeds that was there to separate the holy place from the profane, in Ezekiel's words, or the new area of the temple from the Dome of the Rock Mosque. When John, in the book of Revelation chapter 11, saw the new temple and was given a ruler to measure it, he was ordered to measure the temple and the courts, but the Lord said, don't measure the outer court. It's been given to the Gentiles. So if you were here, and by the grace of God, I hope you're not, but if you were here in that period when the Antichrist is revealed and they begin to rebuild the temple, I am certain that you will find that the solution that they will come up with that will satisfy both Jews and Arabs. They'll agree to it. I don't think they'll either one be satisfied. It'll still be tense between them. But it will be the suggestion that a wall be built north of the Dome of the Rock Mosque and that full area north of that be given to the Jews for the rebuilding of their temple, and they will rebuild it over the site of Solomon's temple, and the outer court will not be a part of it because that's where the Dome of the Rock Mosque is, and it will be separated with a wall. So Revelation 11, Ezekiel 42. Now, after 3.5 years, when the Jews have reinstituted their sacrifices and their daily prayers there on the temple, then the Antichrist will come to Jerusalem, and he will go into the temple into the Holy of Holies of this rebuilt temple. And that's what Jesus is talking about. When you see the abomination of desolation that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Daniel tells us in chapter 9 that the prince of the people that shall come will make a covenant with Israel, but in the middle of the 7-year period, he'll break that covenant and he will create the abomination that will cause the desolation. The desolation is the great tribulation. And he will create the final abomination that will bring on the wrath and the judgment of God, the desolation, as the great tribulation period will begin. And so Jesus said, when you see that happen, when he comes, and Daniel tells us further in chapter 12, that he'll cause the daily prayers and oblations to cease. Jesus said, when you see that happen, then flee out of Jerusalem. And don't bother going to your house to get a jacket. Get out of there as quickly as you can. Because he said, there shall be then a time of great tribulation, such as the world has never seen before or will ever see again. Now, in the book of Revelation again, chapter 12, John sees in vision this woman clothed with the sun and the moon and the 12 stars, or the nation of Israel. And she is in travail, ready to bring forth the man child. And when it is born, Satan tries to destroy it, but he's taken up into heaven. And when Satan sees that he has been thwarted by that, he turns to make war against the remnant of the woman's seed, but they are given wings of an eagle, where they are to be born to the wilderness place that God has prepared for them, where they will be nourished and taken care of for 3.5 years. So Israel, the people, the Jews, will be forced to flee when the Antichrist stops the temple worship. They will realize that this man is not their Messiah. They will think he is the Messiah to begin with. They'll realize then he is not the Messiah. And they will flee, and God will give them wings of an angel to bear them to the wilderness, where God has prepared a place for them, where he will preserve them for the last 3.5 years, which will be the great tribulation period. So, Isaiah now, in the midst of this prophecy against Moab, because Moab is to be an instrument of God in the preservation of the people in this last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period, he said, take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday, and hide the outcast. That is, those of the Jews that are fleeing. Do not betray those that wander. Let my outcast dwell with thee, Moab. And so God is saying, and of course it's Jordan today, be thou a covering to them from the face of the spoiler, or the Antichrist. For the extortioner, another word for the Antichrist, is at an end, and the spoiler will cease, and the oppressors are consumed out of the land. So shelter them, keep them until the spoiler is destroyed. And in mercy, and what's going to happen when the Antichrist is destroyed? At that time, Jesus is going to set up the kingdom. Jesus will come and establish God's kingdom upon the earth. And your prayers, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, will be fulfilled at that point. And so the fifth verse has to do with the establishing of the kingdom of God through Jesus. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hastening righteousness. And so that everlasting kingdom will be established at that time. And so that's a little insight into what is yet future, that which has not happened as yet, but will happen in the last seven-year cycle that's to be accomplished on the nation of Israel, for there are 77s determined upon the nation of Israel and upon Jerusalem. 69 were fulfilled. There's one that is yet future, and it will be when the Antichrist takes control over the United Nations of Europe and makes the covenant with Israel, and the old clock starts ticking off once again, your last 7 years before the establishing of God's kingdom upon the earth. Now, he comes right back now to the present, to Moab, the pride of Moab in those days. We have heard of the pride of Moab, very proud, even his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. Therefore shall Moab howl. Pride will turn into howling. For Moab and everyone shall howl. There's that wailing again. For the foundations of Kir Harisheth shall ye mourn. Surely they are stricken. Again, the Assyrians wiping back and forth through the land, hitting the major cities. And even the fields. Now, it is interesting that it was the practice of the Assyrians to destroy the orchards and the crops. No reason, it's just devilishness, part of the cruelty of the Assyrian. And so the fields of Heshbon languish. The vine of Sidma and the lords of the heathen have broken down the principal plants thereof. And they are come even to Jazer, and they've wandered through the wilderness, and her branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea, that is the Dead Sea. Therefore, I will bewail with the weeping of Jazer, the vine of Sibma. I will water thee with my tears, O Heshbon and Elealeh, for the shouting of thy summer fruits and for the harvest is falling. So again, Isaiah speaks of his own grief, wailing and weeping over the destruction that has come upon this beautiful area of Moab, known for its glorious vineyards and for the grapes and the raisins and so forth that came from that area. The summer fruits, the harvest is destroyed. Verse 10, and gladness is taken away, the joy of the plentiful field. And in the vineyards there will be no singing. And of course, the vineyards were sort of traditional. Out in the vineyards, the singing. That's where the Italians have become such great singers, out in their vineyards. And the trampling of the grapes was always done with a... it was done by people. They would have these big vats, and they would take off their shoes and all, and then barefooted they'd trample the grapes to get the juice out of them. And so you might think of that next time you... We do it more scientifically today. But they still do that in some parts of the world. Great, great time. I mean, it's just a time of festivities as they're trampling the grapes and making the wine. So the treaders shall tread out no wine. The treaders are those who are barefooted, jumping on the grapes. In their presses, for I have made their vintage shouting to cease. All of the excitement and joy that went on with the pressing of the grapes at the time of harvest. Wherefore, and of course, Isaiah is saying, my bowels shall sound like a harp for Moab. Within, I'm just torn up for Moab. The groaning, deep... You know, groaning within. And my inward parts for Kir Harish, the city of Moab that is destroyed. It shall come to pass when it is seen that Moab is weary on the high place, that she shall come to his sanctuary to pray, but shall not prevail. Moab will turn to their gods, but the judgment is decreed, and even their prayers at this time will not avail. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning Moab since that time. So it's possible that Isaiah is referring and quoting here from an earlier prophecy, but then he adds to this, "But now the Lord hath spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of a hireling." Now, when a person was sold to a slave, as a slave, he really wouldn't measure the time in years. He would always tell you the number of days. Slavery was an obnoxious thing, an abhorrent thing, and so they would know with exactness the very day that they were to be set free. And so they would always tell you, in so many days, I'm going to be set free. And so the Lord has spoken within the 3 years, exactness, as the years of a hireling.
Chuck Smith will return with a few closing comments. But first, I'd like to remind you that today's message is available in its unedited form on cassette or CD. Simply write or call and ask for ordering details on tape or CD number C3249. Again, that's tape or CD number C3249. As we come to a close in today's program, we'd like to introduce a new book by Pastor Chuck Smith, written especially for today's young generation. Do you have what it takes to abstain from the immorality of our culture? Would you stand up for Jesus Christ in a group of complete strangers? What about in a group of your closest friends? It definitely takes a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. The Word for Today presents Pastor Chuck Smith's new book, Standing Up in a Fallen World, a Bible study based on the book of Daniel, a young man who took a stand for righteousness in a time when he could have lost his life. Filled with encouragement and application, Pastor Chuck teaches a powerful message for today's young adults between the ages of 12 and 20, urging them to stand up against the compromise in the world today and get ready for the Lord's coming. And now for the first time, The Word for Today has made available clothing, t-shirts, beanies, and hats for a limited time only, equipping young adults to witness and revive their generation. Also available is a study guide especially designed for students and family devotions. To order your copy of Pastor Chuck's new book, Standing Up in a Fallen World, the clothing apparel and study guide, you can call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD. Or write to us at P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-272-9673. And for those of you that would like to visit our website, you can do so at www.twft.com. Or if you would like to email us, you can do so at info@twft.com. Well, coming up next time on The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck will be continuing his fascinating study through the book of Isaiah. That's coming up next time on The Word for Today. And now, with a few closing comments, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the love of God and the peace of Christ be with you as you go. And may our hearts be open to the work of God and to the call of God and to the promptings of God upon our spirit. And I pray that God will raise up from among this body people who will get desperate before God in intercession, that it will not be said of God concerning our day that there was no one to intercede, that he sought for a man to stand in the gap to fill in the hedge, but he found none, and thus the judgment proceeded. But may God really call us unto prayer, and may we obey and respond to that call of God. And may each of us spend time this week in prayer for our city, for our state, and for our country, that we might see a real spiritual awakening, a move of God's Spirit, and a return unto the Lord.
This program is sponsored by The Word for Today, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.